We're having a live conversation. Celestial flight here on the Vibrational Voyage this evening. I've got the good fortune to have Tiger here live in the studio, Tiger Windwalker. And he's written a book of poems that kind of touch on a lot of different adventures that he's done with many different people. I've had the good fortune to be with him on some of these voyages. So we're just talking about this event that's happening right now and the connections to other places, other parts of our experience. One of the things that's just about to happen in May, this is May, May 27th of 2009, there'll be the conjunction of Jupiter and Neptune at 26 degrees, 29 minutes of Aquarius. And Chiron will be right there at 26 degrees, 14 minutes. So only about, less than a quarter of a degree away. And Chiron's kind of tracking along with Neptune and has been for some time. But we'll be very, very close at the time of this conjunction. And
now that's a full moon, right?
That one. That one's
a quincunx. Okay, I see.
In that one's on the May 27th one.
Mm-hmm.
The moon is up here. It's just past new moon, a little ways past new moon, on May 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out to me tonight, we've got the full moon coming up here in just a few days.
So now that's going to be an interesting one. And you got to realize, folks, a lot of this stuff's coming up on us pretty quick here. It's important to pay attention, and it's important to start getting very real, because it's going to start getting very real around here. But at that point, with that, and it's actually a triple conjunction, Neptune, Jupiter and Chiron in the sign Aquarius. Remember, that's that desire to redefine ourselves as planetary beings. And quincunx, the moon there. But we're also going to have that moon will be also square Mars and Venus. The moon often represents the public. What happens in the public realm or with public opinion. So with that Mars squaring the moon there, that could indicate that there's going to be some really dynamic events happening, and it's going to trigger, what's going to do is trigger in folks this desire to get beyond the limitations that are holding us back from seeing ourselves as planetary citizens. Now, what those events could be, I don't know. I mean, they could come upon us quite suddenly. Because we have Uranus opposing Saturn, we can breach containment at any time. That is basically the pull. Or the baby can be born, and the cat's out of the bag. And when that stuff happens, then you have to look, and you have to kind of, you're going to have to pick up the pieces and, redefine right in the moment as the new events, then the energy gets released is mm-hmm. what is it? The living conscious potential energy, the newborn, the fetus becomes the child that's been born.
The way that this thing keeps coming to me is that this is related also to another layer of our experience where, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, this community, the sense of community, planetary community. This deeper layer that hits me about it is the layer that reveals or talks about or resonates with the place where we exist as a being, a single being. And whether we're talking about humanity as a single being or the planetary consciousness as a single entity, or the stellar consciousness is a single entity. You know, we run into all these different dimensions of knowing and existing. And then we look closer at those things and we see they're much more connected than they are separated. So that's another thing that's happening right now. There's this mystical, palpable, readily recognizable, and it's something that we can also touch and participate with, and we're having that level of experience as well. That's something that comes to me strongly, especially with things that have been developing in recent months. The thing that keeps coming to me is so many of the revelations that are coming forward right now, and so many experiences that are like game changers. That's the thing that keeps coming to me, that these things are game changers, like that Skanar. Benedict Howard was the guest, about 6 weeks ago, and he came and told me about that Skanar device. Fascinating thing. I got one of them, and they work great. And Tiger can attest. Maybe we'll get him to talk about that. Let me mention that later. But there are these game-changing revelations, experiences, and I feel like they went back into last year for certain. Barack Obama, I think his election is a game-changer in many ways. Some people think he's still part of the same old, maybe so, but there are certainly different elements of his work and his presence and his impact that are taking us in a new direction, as you've noted, Tiger. One other thing, Edgar Mitchell's revelations from last year, starting last summer, that we have been visited, we are being visited by intelligent extraterrestrial beings, by civilizations that are otherworldly. He came out and said that last year. Now, some people criticized him because they're stating that he didn't talk about his own direct experience with these beings. He's just saying that he has knowledge. He's been briefed on the subject. Well, it's still a pretty important revelation. To my mind, it's a game changer. It's a shift into a different level of dynamics, a different condition, a different situation, Saturn. But it seems like it's Saturn and Chiron too, because Chiron's kind of like how we're related to that experience, Saturn being the structure of things, and somehow we're connected, related to it.
Well, you've got to remember that in this period of over a year here of Saturn opposing Uranus, Uranus is in the sign Pisces. So people are thirsting for the connection with the creator, the all in all, asking the big questions. That's what you do when a planet is in Pisces. And so we find that that's going to be really important in the planetary consciousness. Now, sometimes when calamities occur and, you know, there's mass destruction and, you know, multitudes of people get wiped out, that will cause the whole of the consciousness to start reflecting upon the meaning of life and things like that. So what we have now is we have Uranus in Pisces and Saturn in Virgo. 45 years ago, when this opposition happened last, the sides were reversed. Yeah. We had Saturn in Pisces.
That's pretty cool.
And Chiron in Pisces. And we had Uranus in Virgo. So there's a developmental or evolutionary way of looking at this. Because in the continuum of Virgo and Pisces, when you start with Virgo, you're talking about self-perfection. You're talking about detailed analytical ways of organizing things and coming up with like very interesting, efficacious technology. And back then we had the Uranus was conjoined with Pluto, so that's when all this major scientific stuff was cooking out of it. In the nuclear and post-nuclear age. You know, this was the preliminary of everything that's come since with semiconductors and everything, and incredible capacity to orbit the planet now, you know, all this stuff. We hadn't done it by then in 65. We still had another like 4 years to go. So a lot has happened. And now what we have is in the evolving continuum of this, of the Virgo, you know, the Virgo-Pisces continuum, now we have Uranus and Pisces. So we want to draw some conclusions about what's been going on. You know, we want to, there's a desire for a unitive process to occur. So we become more integrated and we will become larger and we'll become more connected. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the last thing that I want to say, because this is not just about people, you know, two-leggeds on this planet building up their civilization and rationalizing and justifying it all to themselves. The idea that we are, we were put on this planet to have dominion over all the animals and the minerals and everything. I think this is another basic belief that we need to be looking at. Not only do I think it's wrong and you know, it doesn't work, but I think that when you believe this way, you have to be much smaller than you could be. For if we didn't see ourselves separate from the trees and the mountains and the water and the clouds and the pulse of Mother Earth, if we didn't see ourselves separate from that, we could have such an incredible communion with this planet that not only would we reestablish the garden here, but we would go out into our solar neighborhood with great blessings from all those nearby.
It is an interesting observation that as the mother reaches that stage of being absolutely filled up with the nurturance and the love for her children, she naturally does that letting go of those children the way you were speaking. And there's any number of signs about the dynamics at work in this relationship, you know. But it's funny, there's been a lot of stuff related to mom, mother, and the love of the cosmos as mother, the celestial mother. That's been coming up more and more and more. So as much as the attention is heightened towards our difficulty, our challenges, been here too long already kind of feeling, there's also this feeling of immense love. It's not like we're being kicked out of the house. It's more like we're being loved into that next state, you know? It is much more like a birth. You know, having teenagers at home, I'm very used to that idea of, let's get them out of here, man. But it doesn't feel like that. I mean, it seems like there's something going on, which is at once very, very filled with love and very unitive, and then also taking us to another place.
In this discussion, we've talked about all this Aquarian energy, but obviously it's more than that, because you can see yourself. You can define yourself. Mm-hmm. You can conceptualize yourself. But when you go back to do the healing work, when Chiron is tapping you on the shoulder and something is pulsating inside you, a pain or a remembrance of a trauma, and that's going off, and you've got to find a way through that, you necessarily must start to feel also. Mm-hmm. And this is such a beautiful integrative process that that's why I said at the beginning of the program is that we need to be authentic, which means we need to go in, we need to cop to the stuff that we're carrying, our wounds personally, each and every one of us, and make an effort to access the storehouse of that stuff, so we can go in there and shine a light on it, and maybe feel some stuff that we're still carrying from the past, and we can get to a place where we can start experiencing a more organic and a more authentic self-love. That means feeling. when you start to align your feeling with your capacity to conceptualize, redefine, and clarify the higher mental and choose and envision the higher mental faculties, then what's happening is we truly are coming to age as humanity. And insofar as we could have a communion with that which we have thought to be resources, but to have a communion with all the living aspects and elements of our planet, have a communion with that and have a communion with Mother Earth or Gaia, that there is a spirit within us that would, I think, would be created in such a beautiful dynamic wholeness that it would be easy or much easier for ourselves to move ahead into unknown realms beyond where we are now. Mm-hmm. It would be a lovely, I don't see how we can possibly destroy this planet and then leave on a great adventure. Now, the new Star Trek's coming out. Did they ever talk about it in those terms? All we know is that the Federation came about at one time when planet Earth was threatened with annihilation, mutual self-destruction, and they made it through. But I don't even remember seeing any episodes on all of that and how it happened, because certainly we're in a position where we're going to have to make that episode for Star Trek. We're going to have to go through that, or we're going to be a failed, you know, we'll be a failed planet, so to speak.
Well, you know, what strikes me in what you're saying is that when we do venture from our home, we take the love of our home with us, and perhaps the love of our home is something that we carry forward in our journey. And you know what? It seems like the mother would be there then, too. We take that mother energy within us. We embody that to the point where we nurture ourselves as a being. And then we also kind of nurture our life and our experience and all of our relationships in that same way. We have that. We embody that kind of love, not just looking to the earth for sustenance, not just looking to the mother to take care of us, but embodying that for ourselves and for our beingness as an entity, as a living cosmic. Mm-hmm.
It was done for us when we were in the womb.
Yeah.
And it was unfailing.
Yeah.
But if we, you know, if we want to grow something, we need to nurture it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the feminine side of who we are. So you have the continuum of man and woman, that we're part of that. Father and mother, okay? The father, he has great ideas, you know? He says, let's make a phallic symbol with, you know, rocket fuel in it, and let's go, let's blast off and explore the cosmos. But on the other side, too, we got to come to terms with our home here. And we want to go off with a good resume. We don't want to be going off and introducing ourselves. By the way, do you have any fresh water around here? We seem to have messed ours up, you know. So it would be really good for our spirit as a planet to be able to work this stuff out, including population control and scientific ways of managing the use of important elements, you know, sustain in a sustainable way. You know, that's all possible. We can do it all if we just have if we just make that important, that our intention. We can do all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell everybody again about your book. It's coming out in the coming months. It's not available yet, but I know you have a poem, so let's do that too.
Well, when the book's here, I'll give you the. You know, I'll give you the information for, you know, the website and all that and pertinent information, but it's not a problem. One of these shows, I'll give that information. But here's another poem I'd like to read. This is somewhat of what we need to work out that's at a personal level and a community, societal level, part of our history here as human beings on this planet. This is called A Rose Is. The hissing snake the rose guarded by thorns, the hostile alpine lake, the deer protected by its horns. Respect the vulnerability of life, or meet its other side. God never meant that beauty should always be kept inside. There is a protector for every emerging heart. Withdraw from the edge of violence, or you too shall be torn apart. Your fear need not strike out. You need only to stop and listen for the tender sounds of morning where rainbow dewdrops glisten. The teacher surely comes for those who are ready to see. What legacy brought you pain need not be passed on to me. Take the sword of inner freedom and sever what holds you fast. It takes the bravest warrior to conquer all the past. And if you are not the one, then who else can it be who reads the mystery map of your own topography? I can't do it for you, but I offer you my hand, for all paths converge as we seek the promised land. A rose is a rose is a rose, but don't forget the thorns. When fragile beauty is disrespected, the usurper shall be torn. Jesus wore a bitter crown, but it wasn't of his making. If we allow ignorance to persist, humanity must go on aching.